There's a certain branch of theology that looks at Jesus, but more specifically, how Jesus saves us. This branch answers questions such as, what does it mean that Jesus saves us? What does he save us from? How does he save us? And how does this redemption that Jesus won get applied to each and every one of us? To answer these questions, there's many different schools of thought and theology. One of the more popular ones, even today and in the past, was promoted by Martin Luther, who of course started the Protestant Reformation, 1517. Martin Luther takes a legal look at Jesus Christ, a judicial approach. And after Adam and Eve committed the original sin, he says that there's this distance between God and man. The divine punishment is upon man because man has sinned. Man has continued to sin since Adam and Eve. And in this sense, in this punishment, somebody has to pay, basically, for man's sins. Somebody has to accept the punishment of God. But since the sin's so great, man can't do this on their own. There's a chasm. Man can't pay for his own sin. The debt's too great. So what happens? God's own Son comes. Jesus Christ comes. And he's the one, because God pays for our sins. Jesus Christ steps in to take our punishment. He pays the debt he didn't owe. And this is what Luther sees. There's a substitution where Jesus basically takes our place in redemption. Jesus takes our place in paying God the debt and paying the punishment that we deserved. And this could be exemplified in a teacher who punishes the entire class for the actions of one or two of the students misbehaving. Now there's a second approach to this question of how Jesus redeems us, how he saves us, how he saves humanity. And it's what I would call a more restorative approach. Jesus restores the chasm between God and man. He brings us along with him. It's not that somebody has to take this punishment, like Luther says, and once Jesus does, God looks at us better. But no, this is Jesus changes us. Jesus transforms us. Jesus restores us. He restores the relationship with God the Father that was lost in the garden. He restores our relationship with God. He brings us back to where we should be in a loving relationship with God the Father. And to use another example, this restorative approach would be someone who broke a window and now has to replace the broken window out of justice's sake. They have done something wrong and they're going to restore the damage that is done. In a similar way, Jesus restores the damage of sin that was done by us and to us through his death on the cross. He restores this relationship. And this is what we see in our gospel this Sunday. These 10 lepers, outcasts, come and present themselves to Jesus, and they ask that he heal them, that he have mercy on them. They want to be healed. They want their health to be restored. Jesus tells them to go, show yourselves to the priests, and lo and behold, they're healed. Jesus restores their health. He gives them back what's lost. He gives them what was lacking in their life, what they so greatly desired. He puts them back where they needed to be. Jesus is not only the physician, but the restorer. So what does this mean for us? How does this matter for our life today? How does this matter for our relationship with God the Father? What do we do to live out and participate in Jesus' restoration? I think there's three basic ways that we can do this. Three basic ways that the restoration of Jesus Christ affects our life. First and foremost, we have to imitate that one cleansed man. The man who came back, who left the group he was with, and came to glorify God, to thank Jesus for what he's done. He's really an incredible figure, because I'd imagine he had suffered with these 10 other lepers, that they had grown close to each other, and he leaves the group. He goes out of his way to thank God, to glorify Jesus Christ for what he's done. and we should learn from this, and we can imitate him. We also imitate this man, and we praise and we thank God for the salvation that he's given us, for the redemption he's wrought in us, he's brought to us. He saved us. He's given us the grace to carry out this great Christian life. And for that, we get to thank and praise God. We get to give God glory for what he's done in our life, that he brings us into this beautiful relationship with God the Father, one filled with life and filled with grace. And after thanking God for restoring our friendship with him, we realize that we need to continually re-enter this, because it's not a once-or-for-all sort of deal. We need to be strengthened. We need to be nourished. We need to constantly pick ourselves up again when we mess up and enter the restorative nature of Christ, his love and his mercy. So Jesus meets us, and the church provides for us in the sacrament of the Eucharist and in the sacrament of reconciliation. Through the Eucharist, Christ nourishes us with the bread from heaven. He nourishes us with his very self to accompany us and allow us to live a virtuous life, to live a happy life, to follow Christ. He restores our vigor, our courage, because it takes focus to do this, and he gives us the ability. But also in the sacrament of reconciliation, he allows us to get up again. It really is a sacrament of restoration to restore God's image in us. Through confession, we re-encounter Christ in his mercy and his love, and that transforms us. And all of us, including myself, need to regularly encounter Christ's love and his redemption in confession. And after we've re-encountered the restoration of Christ in the sacraments, we too can be restorers. We can do something to restore the world for Christ. We can seek out those whose faith is lost, who no longer practice the Catholic faith. We can seek them out and help to restore their belief in God and their trust in him. Or we can seek out those whose humanity, their human dignity, needs to be restored. Those who are sick, those who have poverty, in poverty, those who are dying, and visit them. We can aid them and do whatever we can to restore their life, to restore them to health and prosperity. We're called to care for those whose human nature needs to be restored. And in all of this, in all of our restoration, and in Christ's restoration, I think one saint gives us some great advice. At the beginning of the 20th century, Pope St. Pius X was our pope, and he took his motto as Instaurare omnia in Christo, to restore all things in Christ. This is now our mission. It's our task to go out into the world and restore all things in Christ, to transform ourselves, to transform others, and to transform the entire world for Jesus Christ.